on this Sunday, we begin to see the intentional violation of the covenant that God made with us. Last week, we received those covenants at Mount Sinai. We had the Ten Commandments booming forth from the mountaintop, and then Moses went up and collected the rest of the law. And we see this week that we quickly depart. We quickly go astray from God's commandments, from God's covenant made with us. The people are now wandering in the wilderness. They grow impatient along the way. They are upset with Moses and with God. They say, "We're dying on this wilderness journey. It's taking too long. They have to go around the land of Edom, because the Edomites won't let the people through, and God won't give them their land, because the Edomites are descendants of Esau, the brother of Jacob." And so the people even say on this long journey that they have no food and drink. And then they have to acknowledge, well, okay, yes, we do. God has been providing us miraculously food and water each day. But they then go on to say, "We detest this miserable food and drink." They want to reject what God has been doing for them. They reject God as being their God. They are certainly not putting God first, and they certainly are not living in right relationship here with Moses. The law is being violated. And so God reveals to them, what would it be like if God was not their God, and they were not God's people, and God did not provide for them on their wilderness journey? Short answer to this is death. Death is what it is like. These poisonous serpents are sent into their midst, the people are bitten, and they die. And they realize, ooh, we've made a mistake. And so they cry back out to God, they ask Moses to pray for them. And God heals them and restores them. We would wish this would be the only time in humanity's history that we rejected God and experienced the consequences of that rejection and immediately realized, we need to follow God always. Because we can see so clearly what happens if we reject God. And we would wish that we had learned from this, that this had never happened once anymore. And yet, we see it consistently happen across our stories, down through Jesus' time, down to our own time. So Jesus tells us in our gospel reading today about how we have rejected the light of the world. That God has entered into our midst. The light of the world is shining. But we love the darkness instead of light, because our deeds were evil. We don't want the light to expose our darkness. In fact, the problem is we blame the light for the things we have done wrong. It's the light's problem that it reveals how far we have strayed. If we just got rid of the light, everything would be fine. If we never turned the light on in the house, we could just leave it dirty and messy and all cluttered and things growing on stuff, wouldn't matter. Can't see it, it's fine. And so this is how we tend to operate. Well, Jesus is saying that the people are operating, where they think that they have life and that everything is going well, when in fact they're already dead. This is the opposite, of course, of the problem of the people of Israel. They were wandering in the wilderness and were being given the life from God and claiming that they were dying. We have been bitten by the poisonous serpent of sin and are not acknowledging that truth. We think everything's fine. I'm not dying. I'm not dead. I don't need anybody to heal me. No bite marks here. No poison in my veins. I'm good to go. I reject the light of God, thinking I don't need it. I've got everything. I'm doing just fine on my own. But of course, we know this is false. The serpents of sin coil tightly about us, and we are dead. This is what we hear in our reading from Ephesians. you who were once dead, for your trespasses and sin in which you once lived. You were walking dead people, because that is what sin demands of us. We were estranged from God and from one another. And so we were dead. And what we needed was God to offer us life. And even when we get this right, even when we return to God, we discovered today that we then also tend to reject God even after that. So Jesus, the light of the world, comes, folks acknowledge Christ at least for a little bit, but then reject. We see this happening, John 6, a good example of this. People are following Jesus. Jesus gives them a teaching. The teaching is too hard for them, and so they all depart and leave. This is our challenge. We have a hard time remaining in the light, consistently being drawn to God. The good news is that even as we struggle with this, God remains at work. God keeps finding ways to offer us life, even when we reject God. This is what we see going on in our first reading, too. As the people reject God, God listens to Moses' prayer and gives them the serpent to look at to be healed. And the mechanism of their healing is a beautiful illustration. Because to look at the serpent to be healed means two things. First of all, we have to look square in the eye, a symbol of our rejection of God. That these serpents are only here because we rejected God in the first place, because we demanded death. I only have to look at the serpent because I have been bitten. I have experienced the death that I have demanded. And so I have to look that in the eye. I cannot ignore it. That's step one. Step two is I also have to realize that I need God to work salvation for me. I cannot save myself from the poison of the serpent. That poison is too strong for me. If I am going to know life, I have to trust in the God who I rejected. You see the same exact thing going on for Jesus when the Son of Man is lifted up. When we look at the cross, we see humanity's rejection of God's own Son. We see the truth of Jesus' statement that we loved darkness, that we put the Son of Man on a cross, that we tried to kill the author and giver of life. We see our own brokenness and sin fully displayed on that cross. And yet, we also know that that same cross is the vehicle of our salvation. We must trust the God who we rejected to offer us life, that somehow we are restored to life because of this one who is hanging upon the cross. And we realize that this is the goal all along. God does not come into the world to show us our flaws. That is not the purpose. Of course, it happens. We can't ignore the cross and our rejection of God. But the purpose of that cross was to offer salvation. The purpose of Jesus being sent was that the love of God for the world might be made known, that none need perish, but all may have eternal life. This is the goal. Indeed, lest we miss it, the Son of Man was sent into the world not to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. This is the purpose of revealing our brokenness, our sin. We have to acknowledge, yes, we have been bitten by the poisonous serpent of sin. But God has worked salvation, desiring to save us from our own death as we believe and trust in the grace, love, and mercy of God. This is what we hear in Ephesians as well. That Christ reveals to us God's own mercy and God's amazing loving kindness. a gift that we know we do not deserve. But God gives because God loves us. So hopefully we get to a point where we can begin to trust the depths of God's grace in the midst of our own strain, in the midst of our own rejection of God. Can we look to the cross and know the salvation God has won for us? Can we do this multiple times? Because we will need to. We don't hear that the poisonous serpents are just also taken away from the people. Odds are very good, I think, that somebody can go out one day and get bit, have to look at that serpent, be healed, the next day go out and get bit again, because they're still there. And we know this is true for us. We are still surrounded by the poisonous serpents of sin in this world. They continue to bite our thoughts, our words, our actions. Our perspectives are warped by the poison of sin. And the way this serpent has coiled around our hearts. And so we must look to the cross time and time and time again. Each time we recognize that we have been bit. Each time we feel the poisonous sting of sin in our lives and the disruption that it brings, we must look to the cross. It is there that we encounter our salvation. It is there that we recognize the mercy and loving kindness of God. It is there that the light of God springs forth in our lives and in our hearts. And it is once we are restored to life, after God has brought us out of the death that our sins have demanded, that we then hear that we are to engage and the good works God created us to do. We are to participate in the world in the ways in which God has desired all along. We are to live in accordance with that covenant of God that puts us in right relationship with God and with one another. And it's clear that we do not do this so that God will love us or so that God will heal us. God has already done both. Indeed, what we hear is those who love the light are drawn into the light so that it might be seen that their deeds were done in God. Which means that these deeds are not our deeds. These deeds are done in God. They are God's deeds shining through us. When we were walking in the light of the world shines within our hearts and we reflect that light out into the world. The minute that we stop walking in the light, the minute we depart from Christ, we go right back to darkness and evil and wicked deeds. So, we also have to acknowledge that walking in the light changes us. It changes our thought process, it changes our actions, our words, and as it does, we realize that this is no longer us, but the Holy Spirit working and living within us. This is no longer us, but the light of God shining in our hearts as we trust in what God has done to heal us and restore us from our sins. We must be drawn to that light, dear brothers and sisters. And this is what is happening for us today. The light of the world comes crashing in once more in this meal that we share. Bread and wine becoming Christ's own body and blood given and shed for us. Here we encounter the one who is lifted up that we might know him. Here we encounter the food from heaven that nourishes and sustains us. And we know, indeed, that it is not miserable food, but it is what we and the world desperately need. And as we taste and see the goodness of the Lord in this meal that we share, may our hearts, our minds, be drawn into the light of God once more. And may we be strengthened and nourished to celebrate and share the grace, mercy, and love that we have encountered at this table. And for this good news of God's life, of God's love, of God's grace, shared with us, even when we would reject it. All we can say is such wonderful things. Thanks be to God. Amen.